Happy Easter. He is risen, and indeed he is. Jesus is no longer in the grave. There is one thing that ought to fill our hearts today, is that no matter what the world say, and no matter what kind of speciality is out there, if it's a religion, scientific, archaeology, it doesn't matter. Everyone knows the fact that Jesus is not in the grave no more. You go to that tomb, it is empty. Every single scholar in the world agrees in that one thing, that Jesus rose again. We stand here today knowing the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came into earth, lived his life perfectly to guide us into the way of God and the way of salvation. And that's what we talk about today, salvation. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read this. This is what Peter says. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is a present freedom that makes the future possible. Salvation is that word that we use in the church that reminds us that we can live a better future because of what God has done for us in the cross of Calvary. The word salvation really means this: it's deliverance from danger, deliverance from suffering. To save is to deliver and to protect. The word carries the idea of victory, health, and preservation. There's one little personal story about salvation that I really like. It's about me. Being young, 1988, I was following my dad into a ministry. And after the event, we would always have a little bit of time of fun. We would, at that specific event, we were able to go to a river and to enjoy ourselves in that specific river. And one of the guys who lived in that town said, "Listen, that river, it is like a very deceiving river. If you look at the top, you don't see the current. It seems calm. But underneath it, there is this current that if it takes you, it's going to drag you down and you're going to have a tough time surviving it. Look at the top, quiet. But in the bottom, troublesome. Doesn't look like life. Doesn't feel like life at times. You look at it around and you feel like, oh man, things are calm and it seems calm. But then you start living life and you just to find yourself in troubling waters. Can you feel that way? That's how I found myself. We were playing in that river. And as soon as we were just having a little bit of fun, I felt like there was like a hand grabbing my foot and there I went. Help! Help! Have you ever been there in life? Have you ever been there? Where you're living life, you think it is calm, and you have a little bit of fun, and it just drags you down, and you're like now looking for salvation. Looking for someone or for something to just come and grab you right out of it. I remember being dragged down and one of those opportunities that I got to come up, I saw my dad running in the banks of the river. At that moment, I felt like there was, as I was going down, I felt a rock stop my feet, it caught my toes, and I was in my toes with my head out and just screaming, help, help, and help. Fortunately, salvation came. And the future was possible. One of the guys from ministry who was with us that day swam towards me, grabbed me, and took me ashore. See, that's what salvation does. It saves you. It brings you freedom from something that is oppressing you right here, right now, so that you can have a better future. So when you talk about in the church, we think about salvation. We talk about salvation as if it was just a spiritual freedom that free us to heaven. We read like passages like this one, chapter 10 of Romans. We see this, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. This is what we see. We read, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from dead, you will be saved. It is a biblical promise that God would come down and save us. But we read that and we're just thinking, oh, I'm just being saved for heaven. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and it is saved. We have God's promise of salvation. But I'm afraid that because in the church we just focus on the spiritual aspect of it, we lose focus of the totality of the word salvation and the work of Jesus in your life, in my life. There is a biblical story in chapter 4, 3 and 4 of Acts. That I think it gives us a glimpse of what biblical salvation, the act of Jesus in the cross of Calvary, is all about. Someone who was being dragged down by the river of life, but by this river of life, not Jesus, the river of life, being dragged down. Listen to this story, Acts chapter 3, verse 4. There was this guy sitting in the beautiful temple. He was lame. He couldn't walk, couldn't live life. He was just like me on that river, being dragged down by life itself. People looked down on him, people put tags on him, called him all kind of names. And in several moments, he felt like worthless, life worth living. It was not worth living. At one of those moments, he was sitting there asking for help, asking, begging for help. John and Peter walks by. He cried out to Peter and John and said, please give me something. I need some change. I need something. I need something that will give me food to eat tonight. I'm paraphrasing. Peter and John looked at him and said, like, listen, guy, money we have not, but what we have, we will give it to you. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. At that moment, that guy who couldn't walk for all his life, he stood up and walked, and he was jumping and praising God for the miracle that has just happened in his life. He was broken. He couldn't walk. He was tagged with all these names. But at that moment, salvation came to him. The things that dragged him down was no longer present in his life. He went on praising God for the goodness. Peter and John got put into jail for doing just that miracle in the guy's life. And this is where we read chapter 4, verse 12. We read this. Let it be known, Peter and John telling the people who put them in jail for the miracle, telling this. Let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is not only a spiritual thing. It is an emotional thing and it is a physical thing. Salvation is a spiritual, moral, physical freedom provided by God through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that elevate us. That elevate us to a fruitful, productive, abundant, and purposeful future. Purposeful future. That's what God does. That's what salvation is all about. It is about God meeting you right here, right now, to free you from the things that is oppressing your life. There is no health, no well-being, no truth, no purpose, no existence apart from the gift of salvation provided by Jesus. Maybe this morning you feel like Sam Rosa under the water. Maybe this morning you feel like the man sitting in the beautiful gate begging for help. Reality is that Jesus Christ rose again so that he would bring salvation to reality, there's two parts we can play. We can be the guy needing help, or we can be Peter and John bringing the gospel of salvation to those around us who are begging for help. Maybe you'll be both. Maybe there's some specific areas in your life where you're asking Jesus, Jesus, come, bring deliverance, bring that freedom that I so long desire. Maybe you are the source that will bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus to someone who is sitting at the beautiful gate crying out for help. It doesn't matter what you are in this story. Reality is that Jesus came to save you spiritually, physically, emotionally, and morally from all the things of this world that oppresses us. Let me pray. Jesus, so many times we feel like we are underwater because life can oppress us from so many ways and in so many circumstances. But we cry out for help, and we know to whom, where our help will come from. Our help comes from you, the creator of the universe. Our help does not come from those around us, but from you and you alone. I pray that this morning, through this Easter moment, that we would remember that there is salvation, no one else, but in you, Jesus Christ. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Won't you stand and sing with us?
God spoke, and he said, let there be the creation of everything by the Holy Trinity. Once an existence of peace, love, and unity came crashing down in Genesis 3. Because of man's decision to eat of that tree, sin entered this world, and we've wandered hopelessly. For separation from God was man's only destiny. But this, my friends, was not the end of his story. You see, God looked on mankind and he showed us his mercy. From Genesis to Revelation, in the scriptures you'll see his quest to rescue us from a life of misery, for we were all caught up in the crosshairs of the enemy. So God sent his son to redeem humanity. This news of hope was delivered to Mary, of the Messiah to come that she would carry. Then 33 years later, we were all set free because love came to die for you and for me. We are separated no more because of his victory, and we'll never forget that dark day in our history when Christ paid it all for us on Calvary. He was beaten, mocked, and nailed to that tree, pierced for our transgressions and bruised for iniquity. Christ's fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Like a lamb to the slaughter, to the cross he was led, with a crown of thorns sunk into his head, on Calvary's hill where his blood was shed. An old rugged cross was now stained in red. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. It is finished, he said. He committed his spirit, and then our Jesus was dead. His body prepared, and in the tomb it was laid. Then 3 days later, he arose from that grave. For lives that were lost now have been saved. The enemy's defeated. There's no need to be afraid. Freedom is ours. We are no longer a slave. Our debt has been canceled. The price has been paid. A sinner no more. You've been covered by grace. That joy that you feel is just a little taste, because heaven's our home and we're temporarily displaced. So my fellow Christians, we get on our knees and we pray. We ask the Father's will. We ask him for his way. Our lives, our past is in the past. We're focused on today. The future he holds, and for us that's okay. But the enemy will sell lies for you to hold on to yesterday. We are one body, one church. We are Christian strong, to one kingdom to which we all belong. As far as the east is from the west, our sins have been forgiven. And we rejoice in the fact that Christ has risen. For as long as we have breath in this life, we will proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. We don't know the time and we don't know when, but we rest in the promise that he's coming again. This gift of hope is yours to receive. Salvation in Christ for all who believe. For the tomb is empty. He's no longer in there. He's at the right hand of God, and to you he draws near. It's hope that we live in. No longer despair. So chin up, stand tall, and dry every tear. Jesus is alive, and I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Salvation that you gave us, Lord, and not just salvation for eternity, but salvation for the here and for the now. Lord, I just pray that we would walk that truth out in our daily lives, Lord. We just love you and we thank you and praise you for Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. God bless. Have a happy Easter.